Hi, this is Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, telling you to stay tuned to WNJC 1360 AM for Thursday in the Doghouse, coming right up.
Mama was a mutt, Daddy was one too. Me, I'm a little bit of everything, everything that I use. One day I'm walking down my block.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Thursday in the Doghouse, a live radio show devoted to our favorite companion pet, the dog. We're all in the doghouse every Thursday morning from 10 to 10:30, right here on WNJC 1360 AM. I'm your host, Karen Fazio, the dog super nanny.
And I'm your host, Rini Primeza, the Jersey dog trainer.
The Humane Society claims that approximately 78.2 million dogs are owned in the United States. That's a lot of dogs. Rini and I think it's very important for all dog owners to have a clear understanding of these animals, which is why we host this very educational radio show. If you make a habit of listening to us on a regular basis, you'll learn about canine body language, you'll find out how to properly house train your puppies, and you'll learn about many of the serious behavior problems that dogs can suffer from, such as fearfulness, aggression, separation anxiety, and a lot more. You'll also hear us talk a lot about how to keep kids and dogs safe around each other, and other topics. Most weeks we interview experts in this field. We talk to authors and veterinarians and other professional trainers located all around the United States and abroad. We have a guest today. He is Buzz Miller, the founder of PACT, which stands for People, Animals Equals Companions Together. They're a Pennsylvania 501c3 nonprofit organization that develops and implements and administers programs that directly benefit companion animals and their owners. In 2003, Buzz walked away from a successful law practice in order to commit himself fully to helping companion animals and their relationships with humans. He spent several years providing pro bono services to many animal welfare organizations in the Delaware Valley area. He's lectured at the University of Pennsylvania on law matters and puppy mill issues. He's been counsel to Work to Ride, a volunteer at Team Nakota Horse Conservancy, and helped in fundraising for Pals for Life, the Spade Club, Marty Paws, Chenoa Manor, and so much more. Busy guy. Further, Miller has also assisted numerous veterinarians and animal organizations in the Delaware Valley in rescuing, counseling, and adopting animals. We're going to be speaking with Buzz in just a minute, but right now, Rini Primeza would like to share with you some of the services that she offers as a professional dog trainer and behavior consultant in the southern New Jersey area and its surrounding towns.
Is your dog always in the doghouse? Does he greet people by jumping all over them? Does she chew your shoes and steal your undies? Guess what? Your dog needs training. Hi, I'm Rini Primeza, the Jersey dog trainer, and I train dogs using only positive-based methods. My services include private training right in your own home. I also offer group puppy kindergarten classes starting at 8 weeks of age and group classes for adolescent and adult dogs beginning at 5 months of age. All group classes are held at Dog Days Camp for Canines, 23 West Main Street, Marlton, New Jersey. For more information, please contact me at 609-280-9338 or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Again, that's 609-280-9338 or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. To Thursday in the Doghouse. This is Rini Primeza, the Jersey dog trainer, welcoming you to our very educational and very beneficial show if you own a dog or if you just want more information about these animals. We have a guest today. His name is Buzz Miller. He's the founder of PACT, an organization that benefits dogs and their owners. Today, we'll be discussing PACT's very special military foster program that matches military members' pets with appropriate foster homes during their deployments. Good morning, Buzz. Thank you so much for joining us in the doghouse today.
Hi, it's a pleasure being with you.
Well, it's a pleasure meeting you. I think you are a very hard worker, it sounds like, and you had a very successful law practice for 35 years. What motivated you to leave that practice and to form that organization, PACT?
I'm only laughing because most of my former clients think I might have lost my mind because I had a great education at three Ivy League schools, and I was pretty darn successful as a business lawyer, but I basically got tired making rich people richer. Mm. I mean, my whole life for 35 years was doing business deals, real estate deals, venture capital deals, transactions in the world of big business, and I hit 60 years old, and I said to myself, what am I doing to really make a difference in this world? What am I doing to change the world? Because my clients were comfortable when they came to me. They were probably more comfortable after we did a number of transactions. But you ask yourself, what are you doing with your life sometimes? And I have been rescuing animals, I'd say, since 1980, which is over 30 years. So a lot of my activity outside of earning a living as a lawyer and a businessman was rescuing animals. It was a little bit unusual because I remember one time I spent several years working on developing a shopping center deal in Las Vegas right next to the MGM Grand, and people would say to me out there, hey, you want to go to the casinos? You want to do this? You want to do that? And I said, no, where's your animal shelter? So even throughout the country a lot on business, I always went to animal shelters and rescue organizations that got friendly with the people and really got to learn pretty good what was going on in the industry throughout the country. And this was back, this started in the 80s, and I continued to do it in the 90s. And by 2003, when I just about hit 60, I said to my wife, I just don't want to do this anymore. We're not super rich, but we're comfortable. We have a nice house. We can afford what we want in life, and I'm not making a difference. So I just phased out the law practice, the business career, let all the shelters in the Delaware Valley, especially on the Pennsylvania side of the river, know that I was available. And for several years, I used my background in law and business, helping them with budgets, with real estate problems, with fundraising, rescuing animals. And my network grew pretty huge. There wasn't probably a shelter in any of the counties, five counties in the Pennsylvania side, that I wasn't working with their shelters and smaller organizations, and I was working with some like AWA in South Jersey. So I was all over the place in this part of the country. Plus, I traveled the country for practically every major animal seminar, so I got to learn and network with a not only group of shelters, but a group of individuals who were really leading the industry, people like Michael Avanzano, I mean Richard Avanzano, Wayne Pissell from HSUS. I attended a lot of conferences run by these leading organizations.
Well, Buzz, I know Karen has lots of questions, and we don't have that much time, so I want to learn more about PACT. Karen, do you have any questions for Buzz?
I do. I think that your military program is amazing, but I'd like for you to explain it to our audience. You know, tell us how you got involved with the military and why you felt it was so important for our men and women in uniform to have access to, you know, quality foster care while they were deployed.
Let me first of all say PACT, which really stands, it's four letters, it stands for People/Animals=Companions Together. And the main thing about PACT is every one of the programs, and the one that's really exploding right now because it's so unique and there's such a need for it, is the military foster program. But what we stress in the five different programs, including education for children about human-animal bond issues and to help them make them really healthier mentally kids throughout their life, is the fact that everything we do not only helps the animals and often prevents animals from being euthanized and gives them loving homes and so on. But just as important, we change the lives of human beings. Everything we do enhances the health or the mental well-being of a human being through a companion animal. So we really look at it as putting two hands together, the companion animals in one hand and the human being in the other, where we do a marriage between the two and we improve both lives simultaneously. The military foster program, the way it began was in one sense simple. Being networked with practically all the shelters in the Delaware Valley, I started about 2 years ago getting phone calls that they had an unusual problem that the shelter workers started seeing, and that was that they were euthanizing dogs beloved by military people going overseas. And the reason that was happening was often, especially with divorced or single people, they had no one to take care of their dogs and cats when they were deployed for the military in places like Iraq and Afghanistan. And the usual tour of duty was a year. It could be as short as a couple months. It could be as long as 2 years. But usually it's about a year. So when you're going away for a year, it's cost prohibitive to put your companion animal, especially if you have more than one, in a doggy daycare or a doggy overnight place, because they'll charge anywhere from probably $15 up to maybe $50, but multiply that times 365 days, and you're looking at thousands of dollars to take care of just one animal if you're away for a year. So what happens is, if they don't have a loving family or a relative or a friend for years or a college roommate or something, they have no choice but to leave the animal at a shelter. And the problem is the euthanasia rate throughout the country. I know there are no-kill shelters, but they're in the minority, and the euthanasia rate throughout the country is at least 50%, unfortunately. They estimate at least 4 million dogs and cats get euthanized in shelters every year. The numbers are all over the place, but that's the most common number used. And it's impossible to get a precise number, but let's say they're 4 million. These are mostly young, healthy, innocent dogs and cats, and unfortunately it's a sad situation. But the military situation gets even worse, because these are people that don't put them in a shelter for the typical reasons of they're moving and they can't take the animal with them. The animal's old and they just don't want to take care of it. And there's tons of reasons why animals end up in shelters. But this is a situation where they truly love the animal. They have no one to watch it for a year. It's cost prohibitive to put it in a doggy overnight situation, especially for a year.
Hey, Buzz. Buzz, I have a question for you. If a dog is in foster care and his pet parent is away, and God forbid becomes very very injured, can't come home, or again, God forbid he dies, what happens to the dog that's now in foster?
We have about a 10-page contract. It's not just a couple paragraphs. And in there, it provides, and we explain it to the foster home and to the deployed person. And I guess this is where my legal background comes in, because it is a pretty extensive contract. And what it provides is, if the military person, unfortunately, doesn't come back because he's killed overseas, or if he comes back and he really is, has to be in a veteran's hospital or some situation where he's not capable of taking the dog, the foster home has the right of first refusal to adopt that dog as his permanent dog. And this is explained up front before the person goes overseas.
Mm-hmm.
And I could tell you from our experience, we don't have once now, we only began the actual program. It took us months to put it together. We only began the actual program last summer. So we've only been operating it for 9 months. But it's, when I give you the story, it's unbelievable, because it's exploding like a rocket ship.
That's great.
And I could tell you from the 22 or 24, I think we've done either 22 or 24 animals in foster homes. Two have been picked up already because the military people returned, but there's about 22 in foster homes now. There isn't one foster home that I could think of that would not want to keep that animal if the person was unable to take care of that animal, or if that person did not come home.
Right.
I mean, we are very careful where we place the animals. The most prevalent question, and usually the first question from a potential foster home, is, what kind of animal are you going to give me? And the dogs are a lot more time consuming than cats, obviously, if you're familiar and you've
had
cats.
Of course, sure.
Mm-hmm. But the problem is, and the way we solve it is, we tell every potential foster home, we will make you comfortable and you have to be happy with the dog you're getting before that dog ends up being with you as a foster home.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, we first of all send them pictures and a description of the potential dog, not mm-hmm. the dog they're going to get, the potential dog. And if they decide that the dog is too big or they don't like that type of dog, from the pictures and the description, we say, fine, eventually we'll find you another one.
Mm-hmm.
If they think they want the dog, we have a meet and greet like a lot of places do with adoptions, especially the smaller non-shelter organizations, and we have the dog come to the home, be with the children if they're children in the home, be with the animals in the home if they're animals in the home, spend a couple hours there, and everyone has to feel comfortable. If for any reason they might say, I don't like the color of the eyes of the dog, we don't care what the reason is. It's like walking down the aisle at a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Unless that foster home really wants that dog and is really committed, and that's why we do a home visit without the potential foster dog, and then we're there when that dog comes the first time. And unless we feel, and I have a full-time young man that works with me, and now that we got so busy with it, I had to hire a part-time girl, and like I said, the program's growing like crazy. One of us is there. And
Buzz, hold on, honey. We're going to have to take a break. Karen, we're going to let Karen tell everybody in the New Jersey area what services she offers as a professional dog trainer and dog behavior consultant.
Are you the owner of a fearful or aggressive dog and don't know where to turn? Have you called other trainers and they've turned you down because they don't want to deal with an aggression case? Then My Best Friend Dog Training and its special service, the Dog Super Nanny, is maybe just what you're looking for. We do in-home private consultations. We're located in Keyport, New Jersey, and we do travel. Our phone number is 732-533-9376, and our website is mybestfrienddogschool.com. We are positive-based trainers and don't use physical punishment or fear as a way to motivate your dog. We use games and fun as a way to do that, and we also help you during the whole process. So give us a call. We're here for you. 732-533-9376.
Welcome back to Thursday in the Doghouse. We've been speaking with Buzz Miller, who's the founder of PACT, about the very special program that helps military personnel find appropriate foster homes during their deployment. I have a question. Not many civilians are aware of the plight of our men and women who are called to active duty and need to find a foster home for their pets. I mean, you know, we hear about it, but we're not really actively involved. And, you know, it seems like, you know, any organizations that are out there are kind of elusive. Nobody knows how to get in touch with them. I mean, how could military members and civilians who, you know, military members who need a foster home for their dog and civilians who want to be a foster, how could they learn more about the program and find you guys? Can you share your website information, a phone number?
Yeah, let me, first of all, here's the website. www.pact4foranimals.org. Again, it's www.pact4foranimals.org. And the phone number is 610-581-4141. Again, the phone number is 610-581-4141. And let me tell you why you hit the nail directly on the head. I've been doing animal rescue. I am networked pretty much all over the country. I've been doing it part-time for 30 years, full-time for almost 10 years. I never knew of this problem. I never knew of programs like ours. I never knew that something like this existed 2 years ago. There is only one other organization based in Texas that does what we do with quality. We don't charge, they don't charge, so it's not a situation, oh, everybody's going to jump in. We're totally dependent on donations, but here's the problem. There are about 2.2 million people in the military, 1.4 in regular military, and about 800,000 in National Guards. We usually have anywhere from 300,000 to 400,000 people overseas, whether there's a war going on or not. Overseas means they're over there normally for 6 months to a year and a half. If you multiply that times allegedly 65% of the country having companion animals, 40% having a dog, times 400,000 people overseas, there's 160,000 people. At least 10% of them have nowhere to place their companion animals. Wow. And that's just a rough conservative guess. That's 16,000. There's no programs like ours except for one in the country. The reason I was aware of, they started euthanizing out of no choice animals that were placed there by military people. And to give you an example, we started the program, no one knew about us, no publicity. We did four placements in 5 months in 2011. In 3 months in this year, we've done 18 placements.
Mm.
I think we'll do at least 100 by the end of the year. Word is spreading. We had a large article in the Philadelphia Inquirer, full page. That doubled the number of our foster homes.
Wow.
We've been on a couple radio shows. We're at various events. We had a meeting at Indiantown Gap in Pennsylvania, which controls the bulk of the deployments in the state of Pennsylvania. They're having 1,600 people go overseas in September. Every one of those people in their instruction packets will learn about our program. The military contacted us, and we're having a meeting in with military personnel that handled deployments from Maryland and D.C., in a couple weeks down in the D.C. area. The point is we're now spreading the word, and desperately we need more foster homes because we think we're going to be hit, especially in September, with possibly 20, 30, 40 dogs or more within a month. It's a wonderful experience. You're doing something for the country. You're getting a dog that'll make your family happy. It's just feel good. I mean, everybody wins. The foster homes, we have the most wonderful foster homes. I don't have the time to tell you the stories, but every one is a novel in itself. They're just fantastic what's happening. I mean, I do this for nothing, and I'll tell you, it's giving me a better high than I ever got closing a real estate deal and making mm-hmm. thousands of dollars for clients.
Good for
you. I mean,
you.
I have a bed where I'm on cloud nine because I saved an animal's life. I make a foster home happy. I give peace of mind to a military person.
Mm.
And like I said, I had to hire a full-time young man to help me, and he's being paid. I had to hire another woman that's working part-time inspecting homes. There's a national need for this. We're out for some grants and so on because nobody in the country is solving a problem that is euthanizing thousands of animals from military people that don't want to give them the shelters. Most people give them the shelters for reasons that a lot of animal lovers would never give up their animals. They urinate on the carpet or something. I mean, there's a lot of reasons that an animal, true animal lover, would never give up the animal.
Right.
The point is, there is a huge need. There's no one fulfilling it. The program is free. In fact, we've gotten to the point now, we have spay-neuter, which a lot of the families need, and especially if they go to a home with another dog or something, another cat, and there's a problem with euthanasia in this country anyway, and one of the big solutions is start at the beginning. But we can get an animal spayed or neutered, any size, $25 through one of the top spay-neuter veterinarians in the country. We provide free food if the family hits hard times. We also provide various things like leashes if they need it. We get reduced vet care now. I mean, we're going soup to nuts like a Walmart in helping the foster families out. We require the foster family to send an email and pictures at least once a month over the internet, because even if you're in a foxhole today, you have access to a computer.
Mm-hmm.
So they're required to send, and this is one of the few things they have to do, but it's not a problem for them because the animal's making their household happy. They have to send an update on the status of the dog and pictures, and when the dogs come home, if they're in the same area, they get visitation rights because they get attached to the animal. So it's almost mm-hmm. like a divorce with visitation rights. We've even done situations in a Texas foster home with a Texas military person. Now you say, how do we do it? That we do all over the internet, but we have the meet and greets down there. They have to call us. They have to send us pictures. They have to send us pictures of their home. Mm-hmm. We don't really want to do that without our own personal touch, but the problem is those animals are going to end up in a shelter, probably be euthanized, and one other key point is most of the people going overseas are young and healthy. And by being young and healthy, they have big dogs. Of the, we've done four cats, 18 dogs. Of the 18 dogs, two are chihuahuas. Everything else is above 40 or 50 pounds. Mm. They're pit bulls, they're Rottweilers, they're Siberian Huskies, they're Labs, etc. Mm-hmm. And they're all big dogs because these people are young and healthy and they're not usually going to have a lap dog. Well, the problem with the big dogs are we have two labs in the program, 9 years old. We're not going to have people go to a shelter and adopt a 9-year-old big dog. It's almost definite euthanasia.
Yeah.
What we're doing is keeping those dogs alive in a loving home. They're not being kept alive in a shelter in a little room that's 2 inches by 2 inches. They're in a home the same as they came out of. The military person is being appraised of that dog on a regular basis. He's mentally has his mind relieved that somebody he loves, that dog, that cat, is in a loving home. The foster families, every one of them is so enthusiastic. I can't believe it. I would rate every one of our foster homes a AAA. I have newspapers call them up all the time, and all they do is rave about the program. But there's a need for it, and we need more foster homes, especially in the Delaware Valley, because we initially were going to have the program only within 60 miles of Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And then we actually had dogs being driven to our foster homes from Virginia, Massachusetts. We had two come up from North Carolina. I mean, we need so much help with this, and you're helping our young people who are going over to fight for this country, and it doesn't really matter. You could be a Democrat, you could be a Republican, you could be an independent, you could be anything. The point is you're helping the mental condition and the lives of people that are over there trying to help this country, and you're also saving the life of an innocent animal they love. What could be better than that?
Buzz, can you, before, you know, I mean, we have a few minutes, but I want you to give out that information again, where people can contact you and your organization if they want to donate or if they would like to be a foster home
or
for that.
They're
for
going family. Overseas or they have a friend or relative, because the program we've only had it for 9 months, and like I said, we're going to probably do 100 animals this year. And that's
right. So give out that information
right.
So people can contact you.
www.pact4animals,
right,
with the S on it, .org. And the phone number is 610-581-4141. If you go to the website and you click on Military Foster Program, you'll see pictures and narratives of practically every animal in the program. There are 22 or 24 right now, and I think we have already posted pictures and stories of 20 of them online. You'll also see a lot of information. You could also download the contract that's filled out between the parties. There's a lot of real solid information there about the program, but we are hands-on. I mean, I talk to the foster homes 10, 11, 12 at night. Some of them have had minor problems. We have trainers that have worked for us for nothing, or we've paid the trainers reduced rates to help out at the adjustment of the animals. It's just a fantastic program. I mean, I can't be biased, but again, I'm not selling something because we don't make a penny out of it. We're doing it to help these kids, to keep these animals alive, and because at this phase of my life, this is what I want to do.
Well, I can't thank you enough for letting us know about all the wonderful things that you're doing, Buzz. I have enormous respect for you and for all the work that you're doing and how you're helping both animals and our military. And I want to thank you very much for joining us here in the doghouse today. And we're going to put that information, Karen and I are going to put that information about PACT on our websites. And, you know, when we put our podcast up so people can hear this show, and your information will be right there. So I want to thank you very, very much. Unfortunately, we have to kind of sign off here. We only have about a minute, and I want you to have a great day and continued success with your program.
Well, I want to thank you for helping expose the whole situation to the Delaware Valley. We're here to help any way we can.
Well, thank you again, and you have a great day.
Our website and email us. Thank you.
All right. You take care now.
You too, honey. Bye-bye.
Bye. Karen and I want to thank you for listening to Thursday in the Doghouse right here on WNJC, 1360 AM. Please join us next week. We'll be talking all about rescuing and adopting greyhounds. Have a great day, everybody. Talk to you later.
Good weekend.
Bye.
Daddy was one too.